This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Every successful playwright was once a novice trying to learn the craft, and Burning Coal Theater Company in Raleigh wants to help those budding talents realize their ambitions. So it created Kids Write. It's a competition where middle and high school students send in their plays. The best are chosen and performed at Burning Coal. This year, one middle and three high school students made the cut. Their plays include an impressionist romance and a play told from the perspective of a hangman. They'll be performed June 3rd through the 5th. Rehearsals start this Monday. Ian Finley is here to tell us more. He's the education director at Burning Coal. Ian, welcome. Good to have you back.
Hi, good to be here.
Also with us today, two young playwrights, Morgan Richardson and Jackson Bloom, both from Enloe High School. Welcome.
It's very good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Why aren't you in school? Because you're here. Okay, good. That's great. Ian, tell us about this program. How did it get started?
4 years ago, our artistic director, Jerome Davis, had the idea of beginning a competition for young playwrights. One of the major goals of Burning Coal is to support new playwrights. We do a lot of American premieres, a lot of world premieres, but we recognize that playwriting starts at a very young age. So we wanted to do something that would encourage the next generation of young playwrights, especially American playwrights. And we figured the best way to do that would be to start with high school students and middle school students, initially in Wake County, and then over the years we've opened it up to surrounding counties as well.
And then tell us how it works.
Every August we contact the schools and say we're doing this program. If there are plays from the school, send them on in March. We get the submissions in March. We send them out to our readers, take about a month reading through them, scoring them. It's a pretty rigorous selection process. And from that, we then choose four or five plays to get professional productions at our space in June.
How have the entries come in? Has there a change in the number of entries over
time? It goes up and down. Some years, teachers will have like a playwriting unit and will send in an entire class full of plays, so we'll have big spikes in the numbers. What's been very exciting for us is that the number of plays submitted by individual authors, like Morgan and Jackson, has gone up. So it seems that we are getting people who might not have written a play otherwise to write a play and submit it, and some remarkable things.
Jackson, tell us about your play, The Hangman's Diary.
Well, my play is certainly a bit dreary, but I think it certainly offsets that with humor, which is a great thing. But basically, it's a man who's employed by the federal government in a sort of ambiguous setting, not America, perhaps the United Kingdom, but he's a hangman, and that's what he does for his living. And so every week he's set with the task of emptying the cells that the government has filled up in their judicial system. And so he explains to the audience in this monologue of a play, you know, his job. And I try very hard to stay away from the morose and to find the humor of it. He's certainly an
gallows humor, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Forgive me, yeah.
Yes.
Well, would you read something for us and give us an idea?
Sure, I absolutely will. So this is the hangman talking initially about the noose, the gallows. "'Cause this, it's the right machine. It's a science, this thing right here. They've got it down to a science, yeah. And so it can get a bit dreary, just pulling the stool out from under people. And the hours aren't very flexible either, because there's only the one row of cells, you know. I have to keep emptying them so they can keep filling them back up. And I don't have hardly any vacation either. Now, the pay is actually pretty good. You'd be surprised how much I make. When I first started, the guy who trained me, he said it was because they were paying my salary and then paying for my conscience, too. Funny thing to say. But I'm serious. How much do you make, I peg you about 25,000 euros. What about you, sir? Do you make 30 grand? No? I make 34 grand a year. So yeah, it's not great, but I'm comfortable. You know, I got cable. And I guess the other perk to the job would be the people. You meet some really nice people. Well, you meet some interesting people, might be a better thing to say."
Jackson Bloom reading from his play, The Hangman's Diary, going to be performed at Burning Coal Theater Company in Raleigh June 3rd through the 5th, part of the Kids Write Performance Weekend. Now, you know that the death penalty is illegal there and only legal here, but that's okay. You can do it in euros if you want. Was this motivated by a sense of conscience? I mean, were you thinking about questions of the criminal justice system and death penalty?
Absolutely. I think it's interesting that there, in developed countries around the world, there's emerged this sort of liberal take and a rather, you know, progressive, we aren't going to put people to death. We aren't going to kill people to show them that killing people is wrong. But in America, that has not yet been the case. And so I think that that's certainly regrettable. And though this play is, you know, filled with humor, I think that to some extent it does reflect that regret that America hasn't stepped forward as far as the death penalty is concerned.
Morgan, let me talk a little bit about your play. No one dies in your play.
No, nobody dies.
Tell us about it a little bit. Though some, I guess, wish they might because of unrequited love.
Maybe. My play is called See You Soon, and it's sort of abstract, I guess, or a lot abstract. But it's about falling in love and all of that, and it happens in sort of a magical playground kind of a place. I've got a trampoline and a swing set and a desk, and I'm very interested to see how that plays out in the production. But it's sort of about finding someone and seeing how that works and...
This sounds like a theme that would be much closer to the high school experience than the news in a lot of ways, which shows you, I guess, Ian, the depth and the breadth of the kind of writing that you must receive.
Absolutely. Well, and it also shows up in the other plays that we're producing this year. Kids Write this year, we're producing four plays. Besides Morgan and Jackson's play, we're also producing Fight for Your Honor by Stuart Rose, who's an 11th grader from Harnett County, which is a story of the Civil War that has told over the whole breadth of the Civil War, using some very interesting, very theatrical techniques to swing us from now to then. They have a timekeeper, like a referee in a soccer match, that sort of takes us through the war. And The Love in This Room by Jaron Moore, who is a middle school student at Ligon Middle School, which is a family drama about what happens when a mother is dying to an estranged daughter. So this very, very wide breadth of different theatrical experiences.
Morgan, I'd love to get a sample of your play as well. We did manage to get the trampoline and the swing set in here. So since we've got all the good stuff, would you read for us?
Absolutely. Hey, is this a bad time? I'm sorry. I thought we might be soulmates. I can see by the way you're holding that tube of toothpaste that maybe you weren't thinking the same thing. At least, not right now. Look, I know I haven't known you for long, and I'll admit that sometimes I forget your name. Right now I'm thinking it starts with an S. But that doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it does. I'm sure it's a lovely name. But to me, it just... I'm sorry to say it, or rather I'm not, but I don't hear your name. Or maybe I do, but the tuba is too loud, and the trumpets and the big drum like the Energizer Bunny... And I hear that parade cacophony of sound, and it's so loud and it's so alive that it beats right through the cement and into my shoes and my stomach, and I shift, and my heart doesn't beat by itself anymore.
Morgan Richardson reading from her play, See You Soon. That also will be performed at Burning Coal Theater through June 3rd, June 3rd through the 5th, I should say, part of Kids Write. It's a performance program. Had you written many plays before? Is this your first one?
It's actually my second. I'd written a play before it as sort of a continuation of an assignment from school. And this one I wrote to submit to colleges for applications because I'm going to college for playwriting. So
you're
I'm
going
really
to college. So how long have you been interested in this?
I started writing, I guess it was early-ish last spring, and sort of caught fire from there and have been writing since. I started out with sketch comedy and then moved into playwriting and ended up here.
Do you see a lot of plays?
Yeah, actually this year I think I've seen a play every weekend,
well,
which was a challenge.
Which you can do in this area.
Yeah.
If you want to. How about you, Jackson? How long have you been interested in theater?
Well, I'm more of an actor than a writer, to be honest, but I've been lucky enough to work with this Kids Write program. But I've been acting for a number of years. I've been lucky to work with Burning Coal. Last September, I was in their production of Hair, which got my mother and grandparents to see me dancing around naked. And
That must have been kind of a treat for them.
Yeah, certainly. but I'm always glad to work with the theater. It's a really great presence in Raleigh for youth and otherwise, I think.
Well, how important is theater? Are you freaks? Are you normal? What? How important is theater among the folks you go to high school with?
50-50 freak and normal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to see kids who know at age, 17 and 18 that this is it and this is what they want to do with their lives. And so even if that realistically isn't going to happen for everyone, it's amazing to see that passion alive and the focus that I share with a lot of my fellows for that.
What about you, Morgan?
I agree. I definitely think it's become even more of an important thing, especially around Raleigh, just kids finding that place to, do whatever you want. And there's so many opportunities that it presents, like not just acting, but for playwrights and tech managers and singers and all kinds of different ways for people to come together and create art.
Well, 20 years from now, when we have you on the State of Things as our Monday meet, and you're telling the long story of your life.
Assuming they don't cut your funding.
we'll find a way. We'll find a way. So we're going to be here, and then 30 years from now, you're going to be on. You're going to be telling us the story of your life. And will it include the fact that you didn't pay as much attention? You were absorbed in the theater and not as absorbed with multimedia, let's say, activities. Or do you think these kind of things play together? Is there something synergistic, symbiotic about the way live theater works and, our impression of what happens on digital screens, LCDs?
Certainly, I think it's synergistic that mutual relationship exists. I think that 20 years from now, I will be pretty horrific at most video games and that sort of thing. But I think that playwriting, that live experience that an audience has is unique and special, but it certainly does relate absolutely to other media forms.
If you agree with that, Morgan, where's the connection? Where are they married?
Well, I think the whole thing is about just interpersonal connections, like the way that people relate to each other. It's whether it's watching people on stage, being on stage with other people, or, talking to someone over the internet or watching a movie and feeling a connection. It all kind of comes back to that emotional sort of instinctive response that you have when you share an experience with another person.
But you're creating. You're not just consuming. And that, I think, is the other complaint about what digital technology has done. It's turned us into consumers and we don't know we can create. Do you find that you find a lot of sympathy among classmates, other folks who want to go see theater and feel kind of the same way you do, that there's some value in the tangible connection being together?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a proud student of a public school in Raleigh, and I have I've gotten great support and education from the public schools. We're both students at Inlow High School, and there's a great program there, but I think that just universally in Raleigh and in the Triangle, we have a great community of artists and of young artists and people who want to go out and see theater. The trick is communicating what's happening where.
Well, how is that trick playing out in terms of the quality? We talked about quantity earlier, Ian. Have you seen a difference in the quality of plays over the years?
I think so. The amazing thing is that from the very beginning, there have been some remarkable plays. The very first year we did Kids Write, we did a play called Bowling with Blueberries that frankly was one of the best things I've read ever, not just by a student author.
Wow.
It is a great, great comedy. And the young writer of that, Will Surratt, is now actually at NYU studying theater. And so there's been a growth, I think, in the maturity of the plays over time, and also the use of other sort of dramatic devices throughout that. Both Morgan and Jackson's play, but all of the plays this year, use some really interesting theatrical tools to tell their stories. But even from the beginning, there have been some really exciting, really great things that have come in to the Kids Write process.
I wonder about the impact of just knowing that there is this kind of contest available. Mm-hmm. I mean, were you, Morgan and Jackson, aware of this? Was this something you were aspiring to? Let's try to get into that Burning Coal contest.
Well, actually, I didn't know about it until last year because I knew Jackson was involved and another friend of mine was in it. And then after I started writing plays, I was like, well, of course I'm going to submit next year. Since I knew it was available, that was definitely on my radar.
How about you, Jack?
I think I was sort of turned on to writing by this Kids Write program. Mm-hmm. Certainly I aspired to work at Burning Coal, but mostly as an actor. And then the great people there, Ian Finley, certainly turned me on to the possibility that I could write a play, and God forbid it could appear thanks to this program.
So now what happens? Tell us about the actors, how we find who's going to be in this production.
We've got a great group of people. We have a number of people who have done the production for several years. One woman who's done Kids Write every year and who's emailed me and said, you know, I'd really please keep me in mind for this because I love working on this this production each year. So we're drawing them from the Burning Coal Company. We start rehearsal on Monday. Catherine LaTrent is going to be our director who's directed them previously for us as well. We've got a great design team. So we start on Monday with the rehearsals. We have a pretty short and intense rehearsal process. And then June 3rd through 5th, we're going to be putting them up at the Murphy School. The fun thing this year is that we are offering students grades K through 12 free tickets for the show. We want to make sure that the word gets out about this and that we have as many young potential playwrights seeing these works being done. So we're very excited about offering that this year.
Once the students submit the scripts and they're accepted, do you work on the scripts from that point?
I usually meet with the playwrights at least once, sometimes multiple times, to talk with them about how to best develop their script. Because some of them may have been revised already. Some of them, especially oftentimes a middle school script, it's a first draft, and this idea of revision is a sort of new idea for them. And so working through that revision process and always with the goal of helping the writer to realize what their intention is and how they can best turn the play they've written into the play they intended to write.
So, Morgan, what have you learned in the process so far?
Well, definitely meeting with Ian. I thought about a lot of things because, you know, I just been handing it around to my friends and they're like, oh, it's great. I love it. And it's like, thanks. But, you know, there's always something that can be fixed. So it was neat to kind of think about getting a perspective on how I might improve it or things I hadn't even thought about when writing it that I was doing unconsciously.
Can you give us an example of that?
Something that Ian had mentioned to me was that I had been working in threes, which I guess I hadn't noticed, but it was creating a nice rhythm for me in the piece. And there are three points where I talk about water and the girl's relationship to water and how that kind of symbolically relates to how she's feeling at the time. But it only happened twice.
But it got a little tedious. Ian pointed it out, and you said, "Oh, mm-hmm. I've got to stop that. That's a bad habit." And you broke that, or just busted it up a little,
or just figuring out, like recognizing things that you do that you don't realize that you're doing.
Very cool. What about you, Jackson?
I think a valuable lesson that Ian has taught me in playwriting is that oftentimes it's very wise to be brief, and that there will be times when. In this play, for example, it's a one-man piece, and so it's fun sometimes with the idea of death and hanging and this and that to beat around the bush and sort of dance around the topic. But at times that works, and then there's other times when he needs to get to it.
You just got to kick out the stool,
right? Exactly. You hit it on the head. But so I think it's finding that pace where the play's going to clip along and where it pays to use less words.
Yeah, less is more. Congratulations. Pretty exciting to imagine these plays will be embodied soon. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you very much.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Ian, thank you so much for being here as well, Ian. Ian Finley, Director of Education at Burning Coal Theater Company in Raleigh. Morgan Richardson, Jackson Bloom, students at Enloe High School. The plays they've chosen to be staged at, two of the plays anyway, Burning Coal for this year's Kids Write performance, June 3rd through the 5th. For more information, Kids Write, you can go to burningcoal.org. Coming up, how the Eno River inspired Sylvia Hyden's gorgeous tapestries. We'll explore the Weaverly Path on the State of Things. Stay with us.